Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love astrology and are fascinated by how it unfolds in our daily lives, in the politics of the world around us, how it can be used as a map to improve our life and make the most of our time. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I'm joined by my wonderful companion, Ann.
Hi, I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm in. Yep, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ann Ortley. Yeah, I'm on my cell phone, so I can't ever figure anything out with this damn thing. I'm in Ann Arbor, Michigan, prior to the Great Lakes Astrology Conference, which I'm speaking at
wonderful.
This weekend, and I'm proctoring a level 2 student for NCGR certification tomorrow morning. Taking this level 2 test. So, yeah, I'm going to be sitting there. I got 5 hours worth of work while she takes the test. So I'm happy girl. Bringing my computer and moving along. But, yeah, I'm in Ann Arbor, which beautiful Ann Arbor, and I have a lovely room right on the mm-hmm. – they have a really nice pool. And I'm right, you know, I can open my balcony and sit in the sunset and sunrise and sun and have my coffee. So I'm a happy girl. And,
it is a lovely place.
Fun. Yeah, it's really pretty. I like Ann Arbor. It's a really nice conference. It's a small regional conference run by Richard Weber and Sandra Lee Serio. Used to be run by Richard and Pam Wenzel, but mm-hmm. I've been here a few times and I always have a good time. It's those mm-hmm. Midwestern values. We love the folks from the Midwest. So
yes.
Heather has some exciting news for all of us. So we're all going to.
I'm moving. I put a house on the market today, just as Mercury went direct conjunct Uranus. And I had 10 people come in to look at it today. It's hopping. And I think that Mercury-Uranus conjunction, people are ready to roll. They're ready that they've been brooding on changes while that Mercury-Uranus conjunct and then retrograde back, conjunct it again and move forward and conjunct. So if there's any change we have need to watch because there's very little impulse control. And I noticed mm-hmm. that some people are running a lot of anxiety with that energy. But if you're very spiky. But usually that anger seems to be coming from anxiety. But if you need to make a change or you want to make a change or you want to help people that are trying to make change in the world, this is a good time to put your 2 cents in.
Yeah, because it is a fast-moving Mercury, man. And also,
it is.
People
once it gets
are a little
going.
Yeah, they're a little frisky. And also because Mercury is captured between Eris and Uranus.
Yes, it
people
is.
Are angry.
That's why
or
so
pop, mm-hmm. pop anger. Pop, they can pop the anxiety's Uranus, but also they can pop the anger. So I got an email apparently on my mm-hmm. radio show, the one I do the weekly, and I said, you know, because Trump passed, you know, drilling off all the coasts of the country instead of just mm-hmm. off of Texas. Mm-hmm. I said, and I hope he has an oil spill in Mar-a-Lago. You know, off the coast of Florida, you know, and this guy wrote, he goes, I've been a listener. I've been following you for 20 years. Now, that's not possible because I haven't been doing this for 20 years, but beside mm-hmm. the point. And I can't believe, you know, you're like wishing this on him. It's a horrible thing. And I'm like, it was just a little oil spill. I wasn't trying, you know, and it wasn't a big wish. It was just, you know, like the karma. And, you know, but breaking up with you, never going to read your stuff again. And I'm like, wow, man, I got him really mad. But I guess it wasn't that valuable a relationship if he broke up with me over a joke. The other part with this Mercury is people are not hearing well. Mm-hmm, so when my mm-hmm. assistants came in, I said to them, so what did you guys think? And they both said, we thought it was a joke. And I'm like, thanks. You know, I didn't really want oil spills, but I got this guy really mad. So just know that the world is full of people ready to jump, fire, you know, fire, fire, and, you know, ready, aim, fire. What do you do, Heather, with it?
Ready, fire, aim.
Ready, fire, aim.
Ready, fire, aim. And that's
that's the energy.
That's you know, it's an old military comment, but it fits with that Aries energy, and especially with that conjunction to Eris, is that when people hit that place, they do just boom. And
Ba-boom.
It is interesting to watch them go there.
Yeah.
But
So aside from the fact he hasn't been hiring me for 20 years because I haven't been around that long. I mean, I've been around that long on Earth, but I haven't been an astrologer that long. But, yeah, people are getting really, they're a little cranky, you know, and it's okay. It, you know, it's also, we're having the nodes shift over the next week. They changed direction on May 9th, changed signs,
and
rather, on May 9th. And
how do you feel about
huge.
Those?
I think they're huge. I really can feel the, you know, feel the energy. So what happens is the nodes take 19 years to go around the sun, around the chart, to go through all the signs. So for the last year and a half, since November of 15, they've been in Pisces Virgo. Now the nodes move backwards, and they're going to go into Leo and Aquarius. So the north node's going to be in Leo, and the south node's going to be in Aquarius. Now I will say I've been having trouble with my foot since fall of 15. So I'm hoping with the node going into Leo that it gets solved and we finally figure out
that would be lovely.
What's in, you know, that was my hope, that South Node in Pisces. But what happens when the nodes shift is they give us a whole new focus. Now this one happens to be the fun one because going into the North Node in Leo, it's going to go through your Leo house. And wherever Leo is in your chart, the Leo house is where you're supposed to shine. So, like, I'm a Virgo, but Leo rules my seventh house, so I'm supposed to shine in service to other people. Heather, where's your Leo, and where's your sun?
My sun is in the 12th house, and my Leo straddles the 11th to 12th.
Okay, so Heather is an astrologer, and she does a lot of spiritual counseling with her people when she works with them, right? So that's part of her her focus, And so, you know, as, you know, and we're both Virgos, so that's not a great example because it's right next to each other. But think, like, let's say you're a Capricorn. Whatever house your Leo is in is the Capricorn, where the Capricorn sun is supposed to shine. Because that's the area you said you wanted to grow and bloom in. And Heather, of course, started this whole group thing with us. She formed our group. So she's also really good at leading groups and running groups. And
at
11th Mark house. And I met her, 11th house is groups. And when Mark and I met her, back in 2000 and whatever it was when you were in New York, like a long time, it was Saturn in Virgo. Saturn in Virgo time, whenever that was. And she was like, how come there's no groups in New York talking to people? And she got it started. So she's a little spark plug with groups. Right?
A little spark plug, yes.
A little
that
spark
is true.
Plug with groups. Yeah. So
and I've also
when
sparked and exploded groups in other ways, but no, most of my life I like to do good sparks.
Yeah. You only kill the groups that are supposed to die, though, right? That's the way that works.
I did love being president of the NCGR chapter here for 4 years.
So it's good. So anyway, when they move, then they shift on the 9th, we stop being in so much servitude and so much sense of slogging. You know, Heather often talks about when you're doing karma slogging. Virgo is a karma slogging sign. It works, it works, it works, it works. And suddenly we're going to be lighter, we're going to be happier, there's going to be more play, there's going to be more fun, there's going to be more creativity, because the nodes are going to say to us, well, aren't you supposed to shine now? And you're going to go, really? I'm supposed to shine? And they're like, uh-huh. So there's an invitation coming, which is really nice, because this has been a really hard winter.
Yes. It has been. So. That's a good way of putting it. And I do hope your foot... And all everybody's oversensitive personalities, because I know so many people have just been feeling everything, starts to shift.
Yeah. And how do you see the nodes when they go through Leo and Virgo? Or Leo
I think it's going to be interesting. I see them in people, and I'm going to be keeping a close eye on, because I watch everything else. You know, for 20-some years, I have been writing this weekly calm and watching the planets, but I haven't been watching the nodes change and a shift in the surroundings as much as I have some of the other planets. So I'm going to keep an eye on what changes it brings. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So we've got a few people who have emailed in and callers on the line. And the one question I got, which is an interesting one because it can ask, it can be useful to anybody, was someone who was born August 19th, 1969 at 11:59 p.m. in New York, who asks, my Saturn is in Taurus in my 12th house because Taurus is so earthy and the 12th so intangible. I've never been able to figure out how to work positively with this, or as Anne says, do my Saturn. So this is a Leo moon in Scorpio, and that Saturn in their chart is, it's not square the sun, but it is close to oppose the moon, it's a little past that. And it's in the 12th house, you know, and planets in the 12th house may feel intangible, but they are some of the strongest placements for predicting what the person's going to do and be as an adult. It's what's often not encouraged growing up. But, you know, and there's many stories around Saturn in the 12th house, and usually there's possibly a delay around the birth itself. There's a feeling that the father may not have been able to show you how to connect to the world at large, but you may have known them, for better or for worse, in a way more emotionally intimately than other people around you.
Sometimes I see that as a stepfather or a surrogate father plays a very strong role rather than the primary father.
Or a spiritual father.
Spiritual father.
You know, and the Saturn in Taurus, you know, there's some real issues around grounding. I mean, this person has Gemini on the cusp of the second house, which is the natural Taurus house. Mercury in Virgo conjunct the south node in the fifth. So there's some, you know, there's a lot of ideas and kind of push and pull in this chart with the sun and moon basically square. You know, there's approach avoidance conflicts left and right. Venus in Cancer and Mars in Sagittarius. There's a, you know, this person needs a lot of versatility in their life, a lot of mixture. But that Saturn in Taurus to me says if they can get grounded in their work, if they can feel the strength of the earth underneath them and the sky above them, and have a sense of spiritual parents, then they can deal with those, the hot and cold, the versatility, which can feel like being pulled in opposite directions, that's in the rest of their chart. How would you tell someone to do their Saturn, that Saturn in the eighth house, and help them know what you mean by doing their Saturn?
Well, you know, a lot of times, especially when people first start learning astrology, and you talk to them about Saturn transits. I remember one reading, I said, okay, now, they'd had a really hellacious Saturn transit, and we talked about it, and then they came back for another reading. I said, okay, now Saturn's, you know, in your third house. And they were like, what? They said, well, you know, Saturn, what do you mean Saturn's in my third house? I said, well, you know, it moved now in your third, it moved out of your second, you know, it's finished playing with your plans, and it's moving into your third. You mean I have more Saturn? And I'm like, well, yeah, he's still in the sky.
He never goes away.
he's still out there. So now he just moves around in your chart. And she looked at me and she said, I don't think I want to go any further. I said, so what I like to do with Saturn, because he does have a bad reputation, is I like to say he's always the stuff you're doing that you love to, as well as the stuff you hate. So I have Saturn in Scorpio, so I love astrology. I love therapy. I love, you know, Jungians. I love understanding the shadow. I love all this stuff. I hate accounting. But I worked as selling accounting systems, balancing books. I mean, I work as the treasurer of OPA. And I always get bills from the IRS. I mean, it's just like IRS. And Saturn in Scorpio, my dad was a doctor. We always talked about Scorpio stuff, so I had to learn not to talk about it in public because, you know, a lot of people don't talk about how people die at their dinner table like we did. So what it is it's both the best part of your charts and the worst parts, but a lot of people focus on the bad part. And they, you know, because that's the part that makes us feel shame, humiliation, or we have to double down. And I can't do an accounting or a tax thing or anything without having some kind of, I got to do this. And then I go, but I have to do my Saturn. Now, the stuff I love to do, like read astrology charts, I could do that all day long. You know, that's my favorite. Have deep conversations with people all day long. It's very stimulating.
Yes.
But the stuff I don't like, so the idea of Saturn is that it's a continuum. He rules a whole bunch of stuff when he's in a sign. So in her case, he's in Taurus, which is all about fear of not having enough. Because Taurus is a sign of, I got it, I have it. And Saturn in that sign goes, I don't have it. And so, you know,
I don't got it.
And this is a classic chart of going, I'm going to be a bag lady living on the street someday. Because Saturn in the, I'm going to lose all my money and live on the street. And it's kind of like, probably not. But, you know, the fear is there because Saturn's the fear. Or I'm going to get locked in a mental institution. And so we have to kind of say with Saturn, well, there's all different ways he can show up. Let's not vote for the ones we don't like.
Right.
Let's say it's really important to you to understand your value and your worth. And, you know, with Gemini in the second, maybe you want to have a little stash of money that you pretend you don't have. You know, you have magic money that gets sucked out of your bank account every month and put in your Fidelity investment accounts, and you just don't even see it. And I have a friend who's got Saturn in the 12th. That's how she handles it. She gets a raise, and the raise goes away. She lives on the same salary that she made 1990. She hasn't given herself a raise since then, but she got a big bank account. But she doesn't touch it because that's Saturn in Taurus. So it's so
and that's
kind of
because
it
she needs that sense of security.
Yes, yes.
And how
so what you
security can be defined by each person what they need for security.
Right.
But it
right.
is that you know, someone once described Saturn as kind of where do you have a bottomless pit?
Yes.
And
where do you overcompensate too?
Right.
Very often people overcompensate where they have Saturn.
But, again, Saturn is something that improves as you get older. The more you have, more you go through your Saturn cycles, it's something that grows with age, matures well, and it's you can move into the positive form of that Saturn over time. So you talked about building their material security. I'd also say that building their emotional security and being able to be a rock of Gibraltar for other people is also something that a Saturn in Taurus can do.
Right, and because it's Saturn in the 12th, I would say this person needs to have a regular, structured, daily meditation, prayer, connection with spirit or God. And I would say do it in some kind of creative way. You know, she dances, she sings, she meditates, she, you know, kind of plays the guitar, she writes music, whatever. Something where she's connecting to spirit and soul and understand, and even just, you know, cooking. And laying the food out and rearranging the eggs and, you know, making the beauty from the physical creatures of the world. Because Saturn in Taurus wants to experience physicality, but it's a little afraid of it. You know, and she's a Gemini rising, which is an air sign, and Mercury's on her south node. So the other part is she worries a lot about doing it right. And Mercury's in the house of creativity, but it says, well, you need to create. But she goes, well, is it good enough? Saturn in Taurus, I don't think it's beautiful enough. Taurus is beauty. Saturn goes, I don't know that that's enough. But it also then can work in beauty, right? And so what you want to do with Saturn is think of the word it is, then think of the fear around what would happen if it wasn't enough, and then figure out how to compensate for it. And the compensation is how you do your Saturn.
Yeah.
So I say, sure, I'll be the accountant. And then I set up the procedures for it. And then I go, oh, every time I have to do it, I go, oh. But I know that that's the part of the Saturn I don't like. So, but it's good. It's always the doing your Saturn piece is, the other part is when you do it, Saturn goes, oh, you've been a good person, and I'm going to give you a reward. Because he does. He really pays attention. I don't know quite how he does, how he pays attention. I don't think he has a video camera in your room. But he pays attention. And he invites us to create. There's an excellent book on Saturn called by Liz Green called Saturn, A New Look at an Old Devil. And I remember when I was first learning about Saturn, I went and read this book, and I highlighted all the parts. that represented my chart. And I brought it to a therapist because it has a lot, in my case, it has a lot to do with my Venus. And so she kind of looked at it and came back the next week and said, read the white parts. You know, read what you didn't highlight. Because Saturn always makes us feel crystalline or composed or like somehow we're not getting it. But we actually really do get it. And truly, Saturn is our work. It's what you teach other people. I've often find the work that the person does is tied to their Saturn and what they're here to do. So,
excellent.
That good, Heather?
Yeah. And let's go on to the next one. One of our regulars called in or emailed in and had a question. And the date.
The birth information. March 6, 1971, at 2 p.m. in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Fort Leonard Wood, Mo.
And the question was, in the last 3 weeks, which is as long as Mercury's been retrograde, my 40-year-old sister has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and it's stage 4. A dear friend died, and a dear friend from the age of 13 became psychotic and is now in a psychiatric rehab. I'm feeling a lot of confusion and swirling and thrown off center, angry, and wondering if these showing up in my chart. I'm inviting myself to set a clear boundary in terms of what information I receive so I can stay solid and stable during this time. And, you know, that's all of those people from the past, her sister, you know, who's been her sister for 40 years, an old friend that had been with her through recovery, and a old friend who's been struggling for a long time, you know, lost her mental balance, but someone she's known since she was 13. So, you know, this poor woman's been going through, you know, Mercury retrograde took her back into a constant review of everybody she knew and loved. And I hear just a huge letting go, release, composting of her past. Now that Pluto comes back to its very final path, it's been opposing her moon solidly for the last couple of years, and is coming back for the last pass. That's one of the first and foremost things. Two last passes.
Two more. Yeah, got a retrograde pass and then a forward pass. Yeah.
Forward pass.
This summer and then next fall.
And her sister's been diagnosed but is still alive. And she has Pluto in her third house of sisters anyway. I mean, of siblings.
And the house of news too.
Natalie.
News. Yeah.
Now Jupiter's going through her fourth house, and I often see Jupiter show up even more than Pluto when people die and leave. So there's been a sudden freeing in her life.
Yeah, Pluto. Yeah, Pluto makes you deteriorate, but he doesn't kill you.
No.
A lot of people go, I wish he'd kill me. I'm like, no, you're gonna die on the Pluto transit. you know, you don't die on Pluto. He likes to torture you. He stops right before you die. He deteriorates you, but he doesn't kill you.
Right.
Yeah. You may want to, but you're not gonna kill you. So
and
Jupiter, of course, is a long journey. So that's why he shows up.
And her progressed moon is her natal sun is 15 degrees Pisces. Her natal moon is 15 degrees Pisces. And her progressed moon was 15 degrees Pisces last month.
Right.
So she's feeling on you, and it's in the ninth house. So it's really asking her to, you know, she's feeling everything so sensitively and will for the next 14 months while progressed moon stays in Pisces. But she's also being asked to take a really philosophical perspective on this and to be able to not cut off the feelings, but let them flow through her She can't fix them, and that moon in Cancer of hers in the 12th house wants to mother everybody and fix them. And this is the job of walking with somebody, of being with them while they go through their death, not fixing it, preventing it, or stopping it. That there's a process here. And if she can feel it and just stand with them and not feel like she has to fix it, but to take very good care of herself in the process.
Right. There was a point.
She's another person with Taurus, with Saturn in Taurus, up in her 10th, though.
Which is not wanting to lose her people.
Right. It's holding on. But it can also say that in her heart, in her work, she can find stability. It's up in the 10th. And in her daily routines, as you were talking about, daily spiritual practice and daily routine, Taurus loves routine. She'll feel more centered and grounded and strong, which is Saturn's gift. But that's hard.
Yeah, it's a hard one, but also that progressed moon is trining her moon in Cancer for the next month. And I think one of the things that we forget, you know, is we can't take the burden from other people, but we can process with them or be there for them in whatever capacity we can do. And that is important, you know, because she's also a new mom, and that's an important component too. And with Mercury in conjunct her Pluto, your progressed Mercury is 27 Aries, and it's got Uranus coming to it, so that's kind of the shocking nature of all this news, as Mercury went retrograde over her natal, her progressed Mercury at 27 Aries. That Mercury is also in conjunct the Pluto in the third house, which is a health, but it's a Scorpio shape, so it's news of death or news of permanent changes. Certainly the woman who had the nervous breakdown, that's a Scorpio kind of thing too. So the key with this kind of energy is you're going to be a witness to it, because Pluto's over in the 6th, 7th house. It's not on you. It's opposite your moon. It's working with your moon, and it's saying the people that you know and you love are going through Pluto transits. They're going through really realizing their death, coming into some major, or dying literally, or just going through deep psychological internal work. And your job is to be the witness. So it's understanding what that role plays for you. And, of course, because you don't have planets in the Me, Myself, and I house in the first house, or, you know, it can feel like, well, you know, and then, of course, Pisces goes, but I want to help. And it's like, yeah. But a lot of times the help is just sitting with somebody. Or saying, okay, you know, I can do your laundry. That energy and understanding it, because that's the key, is that you can't fix it at all, but you can love it, you can understand it, you can support it. And I remember when my friend's brother died. When my friend's brother died, and my friend's brother died, and I was really anxious. And my other friend Rita said, you know, this is what friends are for. This is the time we can show up for them. So it's calling every day. It's just checking in to see how you're doing. It's bringing them a cookie. It's, you know, it's understanding that your presence is the solution. It's not the fixing of it. It's the loving it.
Well, one description I've heard, that Persephone understood after her time in the underworld that her job as queen of the underworld and wife of Pluto is to receive the dying and help them through the cauldron of death and rebirth by just walking with them. And that's the role, you know, a good therapist plays when we go through the death and rebirth of intensive therapy, is that we can face so much more when we have someone with us. Someone just holding our hand lets people be emotionally present to things that they couldn't be otherwise.
Right.
And you don't know how they're going to use it. They may fight it tooth and nail, and you have no sign until dreams come to you after they're dead that they appreciate it. But just being present and letting them know that there is support is huge.
Right.
So,
and it looks like Mark Woltz joined us. Mark, you there? He's been here being a silent presence and supporting us as an illustration
Hello.
Yeah, I wondered when you would notice my number. But
I had the chart
comment.
Up. I wasn't looking at the switchboard. So Mark's been a silent presence. So Mark, what do you want to add that you've been listening before we sign off?
I think it's good. I think you pretty well covered what the email asked for. And so I hope that is helpful. But very much she has the ability to be present and go ahead and focus on that. You know, she has a lot of very strong inner strength. And then when she thinks it's not enough on the outside, but that's a projection of what, you know, failing for others. But don't worry about that. Just be there as yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Saturn and Taurus.
So Mark was very silently standing by while Heather and I chattered on. How long were you there? I had solar fire up. I wasn't looking, so I don't know.
Right. Well, I got here about 7-8 minutes late.
So
okay,
what?
Cool.
Any last comments that you'd like to make on help on people using the energy now that Mercury has turned direct and conjunct Uranus and Eris?
Well, it's always a good time to think of all the revision and all the different ways you've seen things in the last few weeks and actually put them into action now. So, and we usually feel a boost, like, you know, we've been sort of introspective and now take the learnings and put them into action.
I wanted to mention on Facebook tonight, there is a picture from the Cassini spacecraft of Saturn, and it is glorious. And after all our conversation around Saturn, it's really well worth letting into your soul.
Good.
So find that, and at that point, I believe our show is over, and we're just running on steam at the moment. And I wanted to say wish everybody a good week. May you make good, healthy decisions moving forward. Take care. This is Heather and Mark.
Mark Woltz, New York.
And Ann Ortley, broadcasting from Ann Arbor, Great Lakes Astrology Conference.
Oh, you're in Ann Arbor tonight. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm in Ann Arbor, yeah.
You can find any of us on our websites. Happy to take these transits to you in a closer and more personal way. Good night and good luck.
And Heather, may you sell your house this week, Heather.
Thank you.
That's right.
Fingers crossed.
Okay.
Take care.
I know.
All right, so we'll all be back next week. Take care, folks. Have a good week. Watch for that. Watch for those. Wonderful. Watch those little fiery energies up there.
Wonderful. Bye.
Bye.